Then a shoot will sprout from the stump of Jesse. From Jesse's roots a branch will blossom. The Spirit of God will rest on you, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and reverence for God. You will delight in obeying God, and you won't judge by appearances or make decisions by hearsay. You will treat people, poor people, with fairness, and will uphold the rights of the lands downtrodden. With the single word you will strike down tyrants. With your decrees you will execute evil people. Justice will be the belt around your waist. Faithfulness will gird you up. Then the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion cub will graze together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like the ox. The baby will play next to the den of the cobra, and the toddler will dance over the viper's nest. There will be no harm, no destruction anywhere in my holy mountain. For as water fills the sea, so the land will be filled with the knowledge of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, peace, and mercy are yours in the triune God. Amen. And a child will lead them. As I've grown older, I've noticed myself becoming increasingly practical. I avoid drama. Give me the cold, hard facts. I care so deeply about understanding the way things are that I don't always leave room for wondering about how things could be. I desperately want to know what is possible so I can temper my own expectations accordingly. I want to know the boundaries of possible in order to protect my hopes and allay my fears. As I've reflected more on this pattern, I notice within myself a certain impatience with being asked to imagine things that seem impossible. But nothing is impossible for our God. And in a lot of my reading lately, I've been noticing the importance of imagination. We adults presume that imagination and reality exist on a sort of binary. Too often we assume that imagination and reality are mutually exclusive, that it's an either-or. Either we can be imaginative, or we can be realistic. We suppose that we can't be both at the same time. Yet, if you think about it, for better and for worse, so many of the systems that govern our daily life are born in our imaginations. Writer Adrienne Marie Brown taught me that it's only once we imagine black and brown people as dangerous and deviant that we begin to accept their killings as an acceptable sacrifice to law and order. Racism is not a pre-existing reality that we find somewhere out in nature. It's something we imagined into life. Or consider our economic system, where some have too little and some have too much. This is only possible because we imagine that there is not enough for all of us. And so we have hoarding and competition, and only the winners get rewarded. But the cold hard facts of reality is that there is currently enough food on earth to feed everyone. And yet there are people going hungry. It's only because of our imaginations, and perhaps more pointedly, our fears, that the problem of hunger is allowed to persist. The woman of color, writer, and sci-fi lover that I mentioned earlier, Adrienne Marie Brown, is a huge proponent of sci-fi writing as a work of imagination. She sees this creative work as a way of imagining new futures and writing ourselves into new stories. She notes that, she says, quote, "I often feel I am trapped inside someone else's imagination, and I must engage my own imagination in order to break free." Indeed, if so many problems in our world originate in our own fearful imaginations, then perhaps the way into a new heaven and a new earth begins with a new imagination. Throughout all of Scripture, God is asking us to be courageous enough to engage in this silly, childish activity of imagining what most people would say is impossible. A shoot sprouting out of a stump, a baby playing with a snake, a new heaven and a new earth, a wolf and a lamb lying down together. Impossible. But what if? Think about all of Scripture. Think about all of the stories that Jesus told during his ministry. So many of the most powerful images and lessons require us to use our imaginations. The Christian writer Barbara Brown Taylor put it really beautifully when she wrote, "In my view, Jesus changed lives because he was able to change the way people imagined their lives. He dared them to imagine the stranger as a neighbor, the child as a teacher, the enemy as a mirror, the deity as loving father. He helped them imagine lepers, women, and Roman centurions as exemplars of faith. He asked them to imagine that the most important person at the table was the waiter, and that the end of the line was the place to be. At the moment, I cannot think of a single story he told that was not intended to change the way his listeners imagined the world." So perhaps we could take a pointer from this passage in Isaiah, and we could let children take the lead during this season of wonder. Children understand that playing and make-believe is how we grow. Children know that imagination and games of make-believe are the very building blocks of reality. We could learn a thing or two from our children. So I invite you to close your eyes for a minute. Imagine yourself as a child at a particularly happy moment. What games did you used to play? What characters would you take on when you used to play pretend? Recall the sense of wonder you were filled with as a child. Now, what happened to that little child? That little child lives inside you still, but too often I think we abandon the poor little thing. Where in your life do you still find that sense of playfulness, wonder, and creativity? You can open your eyes now. I am so grateful for the staycation that I had these past two Sundays. I had noticed that I was growing flat and dull before my vacation. It was almost like I had lost some of my Asher-ness. The time off gave me a chance to rekindle my creativity, to do some reading for fun, to get back into my practice of writing a little every day. And it led me to realizing how desperately I needed and how much I had missed connecting with the creative side of myself. I was reminded once again that we were created in the image of our Creator to share in this creative work of living. Now, I know that you may not be able to take vacation time this next week, but what's one thing that you could do during the next week to nurture that little child within you? What's one way that you could lean into a sense of wonder or imaginative creativity? Maybe it's as simple as coloring in a Christmas ornament or playing a game with your child, or taking some time for yourself to rest. Beloved, may a child lead us to imagine our way into a new heaven and a new earth. Amen.